Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership in business. On today's show, we will hear a lesson from Dave talking about financial peace for the entree leader. Yes, one of the most discussed topics that we have, one that so many people don't believe can be done the way that we teach it, and we're going to actually show you how to do that. We'll also have in studio with us our very own Chris Hogan, who's going to talk more about the myths and truths of debt and running a business debt-free. Now, last week we did another one of our Q&A episodes, which was huge. A lot of downloads on that. We've recognized that you guys are liking those. We are going to try and spread those out, put those in as we can, but we also want to bring you incredible interviews as well. So this lesson for this week is on financial peace for the entree leader. Dave is going to share some common myths and truths about running your business debt-free, or some common myths that people think is how you need to run your business. Because for some strange reason, when we look at business, we think that it's completely different than personal. We're going to kind of show you a little bit different way of thinking. Here is Dave Ramsey with financial peace for the entree leader.
The borrower is always slave to the lender. Let's look at the debt subject, even in business. But Dave, in business, there's this and that. No crap. All right, we're going to deal with all of it. Like for some reason, because you're in business, that all changes. And you know, it's the biggest mythology out there on this subject. It blows me away. Everybody seems to think that in business there's good debt. Oh, Dave, I get it, credit card debt and car debt is bad. I get it that a car lease is bad, but I'm going to lease my freaking copier. How did we get there? Well, it's because we've had this thing drilled into us just like we have on the consumer side. We've been told that you're unsophisticated in business unless you borrow. I actually had an investment analysis class in my senior year. We ran case studies. It was a computer model class. And if you didn't borrow, it lowered your stock return, is how we were taught in academia. And it's because we weren't making good use of capital. And so it would lower the rates of return, and you'd end up, you couldn't run it without debt and get more than a B. Of course, the guy running the thing can't balance his checkbook. You know, who taught me how to borrow money? My broke finance professor. What's wrong with that picture? A broke finance professor is like a shop teacher with missing fingers. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I didn't see subsection B where it says except in business. Borrowed money drastically increases risk. For those of you that say, well, Dave, I can borrow money and make more on the money than it costs me to borrow the money. That's called leverage. I understand that. I've got a freaking finance degree. I can teach you that, okay? The problem is you left a little thing out of your formula. When you run all these formulas and you don't mathematically insert risk, you have a naive formula. You don't compare an aggressive growth stock mutual fund apples to apples with a growth and income fund. Aggressive growth fund, when you chart, it's like this. A growth and income fund looks like this when you chart it. The degree of risk between those waves, the variance, is called a beta, a statistical measure of risk. When we're taught in investment analysis to be able to compare apples to apples, a risky investment with a not risky investment, you insert an inverse of the beta into the mathematical formula to indicate the difference in risk, and you neutralize the risk in the mathematical formula so that you can compare apples to apples. We're taught to do that crap, and you know, when we learn how to do this stuff. But when it comes to money and borrowing money, no one says that's more risk. And so they never apply a beta formula or something like that to debt borrowing. They use a very naive formula to show that borrowing money works. Borrowing money magnifies mistakes. Myth. Let's look at some of the mythology that's believed out there. Borrowed money is needed to start or expand a business. Truth. Starting or expanding gradually with cash lowers risk and minimizes mistakes. Here's an interesting thing. According to the Census Bureau data, 26% of the businesses that started last year started with no money. 34% started with $5,000 or less. Now, where I come from, 26 and 34 equals 60. Does that sound right? Probably pretty close. That's 6 out of 10 businesses started with 5K or less. You don't have to borrow $650,000 on an SBA loan and take a second mortgage on your home to start a business. That's a bogus concept. Most people start businesses with very little money. The idea of bootstrapping is very real in America today. The vast majority of you in here bootstrapped your way into the business, but once you got there, then you saw something you had to do then you were able to borrow and did. And everybody tells you you're unsophisticated and stupid if you don't borrow, and you start believing the lie. That's what's going on out there. Here's what's interesting. The wealthiest guy in North America, if you ever read, get the chance to read Warren Buffett's annual reports from Berkshire Hathaway, there's some really pithy, fun things in there. This was in there this year. Unquestionably, some people have become very rich through the use of borrowed money. However, that's also been a way to get very poor. When leverage works, it magnifies your gains. Your spouse thinks you're clever and your neighbors get envious. But leverage is addictive. Once having profited from its wonders, very few people retreat to more conservative practices. As we all learned in the third grade and some relearned in 2008, any series of positive numbers, however impressive the numbers may be, evaporates when multiplied by zero. History tells us that leverage all too often produces zeros, even when it is employed by very smart people. Warren Buffett, not Dave Ramsey, not your broke brother-in-law, and not the guy at the chamber lunch who thinks he has a clue and doesn't. That's Warren freaking Buffett. Okay? This is what's going on in the real world.
So once again, this is probably the most asked question that I get teaching entree leadership. It's the most asked question Dave gets teaching entree leadership. How can you possibly run a business debt-free? Well, folks, you can. You can do it. As a matter of fact, according to the most recent Bureau of Census data, here's the statistics. 1% needed 1 million or more. 14% needed 25,000 and 99,000. 999,000. Yeah, one of the two. 34% needed less than 5 grand, and 26% didn't require any money at all. 60% of all brand spanking new businesses needed less than $5,000. Less than 5 grand. You do not need to go into debt to start your business. Mefford, you ran your own business. Canada?
Yes, in Ontario.
All of our Canada friends, that's a joke. We have a joke in here. So,
I started up there. And I was told you had to have this money. And so I remember going to the bank and then telling me fill out all these forms. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't really think I need this. And I don't believe it. And so I just walked away and just kind of started slowly. And within the first year, things had taken off. I didn't take a dime out. I didn't have any credit card debt. No home equity, mortgages, or anything like that to kind of pull value out. And it just took right off. I think all you need is a little elbow grease, hard work, and a great idea.
All you need is love.
All you need is love.
Yes.
You got to love your business.
You got to love your business, and you got to hate your debt. So you ran a business debt-free.
Ran it and started it.
Bingo. So switching gears, we've got in the studio one of the greats here at the Lampo Group, one of the greats here at Dave Ramsey's organization, Chris Hogan. And Chris is one of our speakers. He's out there around the country teaching people how to handle their finances, how to grow their business in the area of finances, and spends a ton of time coaching businesses on the right things to do. So do me a huge favor and welcome to the studio, Chris Hogan. Thank you for coming on in here, brother.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. I think we always joke about people are stunned by your voice when it comes off. It's much bigger and louder on stage.
Yes, yes.
I can't get that deep if I tried. You spend so much time coaching businesses. You are always focused on, I mean, obviously, you've moved more into a speaking role. You're traveling the country. You're teaching people on a bigger scale. But you have got a great experience of working with businesses on their finances and helping them to get their finances in order. What do you hear when it comes to this concept of running a business debt-free? What do people tell you? What do they say?
Well, I mean, Chris, their first reaction is, no way.
Right.
I can't do it. It's not possible. And I tell them, I say, well, listen, you've got to begin to think a little bit differently because, having as a banker, former banker, mm-hmm. 20 years, everyone always came in for a credit line or a new loan. Or if I'm going to open a business, I've got to do an SBA loan, those kind of things. So we're really running against the culture,
right,
to help people think differently. So to be able to operate a business debt-free, it takes planning. You've got to sit down and look at what kind of revenue can I generate mm-hmm. right now? What are the projected revenue that I can bring in? And how can I begin to work to go toward that direction of being debt-free? Mm. It's not something you can do overnight, but it is a mindset that you have to decide.
Whenever I'm teaching entree leadership and I get to the section of teaching on financial peace for the entree leader or accounting, I always have them raise their hands. How many people in here run a debt-free business? It's always 30% in that class. And the other folks are always saying, well, nobody runs a business debt-free because they're never hanging around those folks. They don't see those folks. So you must get, obviously people say you can't do it. What is that battle like? What is it as you're shooting, as you're showing them the direction to go in? How do you get them to actually get their mind to shift around that concept of you saying, hey, you got to plan for this? I mean, it's not just that easy. It's a process, but how do you get them to accept that?
Well, the first thing is we have proof. Right, I mean, we sit in this building, you know, that's three stories with 300 plus people that's debt free. So that's the first big arrow I get to shoot is that Dave has done this and he's built it. The other is I start to rattle off other people that we've met through Entree with you, with your teaching as you travel and the companies and things that we've seen. So I give them proof.
Okay.
Then I start to shoot holes in some of those myths.
Oh, there you
okay?
go.
Okay. And get them to think a little bit differently. For example, I'll ask, okay, so what do you borrow for? And they say, well, Chris, I have inventory. I'm like, okay, well, let's say instead of going to the bank to get a credit line, say you were your own credit line. Say you had this mythical account that was called savings, you know, retained earnings. They have
What was that again?
It's mythical, Chris. It's mythical. But you have that there. So instead of going to the bank, you go to you and you get that. And so I tell them this, Chris, and you'll love this. Interest that you pay is a penalty. Interest that you earn is a reward. Mm. So from a business perspective, we want to eliminate the penalties and increase the rewards.
I love it.
And so I begin to walk that way and they start to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first turn is getting people to accept it as a possibility.
Mm. What are some of the obstacles that you find immediately as you're sitting down and you're discussing this? What are some of the big obstacles that you find in these businesses?
Well, I think it is a cash flow. Mm-hmm. People don't have knowledge of their cash flow. For example, I just talked to a gentleman last week. I asked him, I said, what are your off peak times of the year?
They don't realize that they have off-peak times.
Chris, it's like a magic surprise.
It is.
And I don't know if it was my verbiage, how I asked it, and I asked different. I said, when does business slow down or essentially stop? And he was like, oh, December, January, and February.
There you go.
So I ask it a little bit differently.
Right.
But I said, okay, if we know that now, I said, so when are your boom times? He was like, May, June, July. I was like, okay. So I said, do you do anything in those 3 months to prepare for those slow months?
Of course not.
Not at all.
Not at all.
He said, Chris, I never thought about it until I get into December and then I panic.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So we jokingly talked about retained earnings or, you know, you mentioned retained earnings. Explain what retained earnings are to a business.
Okay. To me, retained earnings in a business is where you have obviously your expenses. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you have this surplus over the expenses. To me, when you start to pull out some of that money and earmark it for another time, mm-hmm. that's where you call that retained. That's where you're keeping it. You're not letting it stay muddled in your checking account. And that's what a lot of people will do, business owners. They'll leave it in their business checking account and they call it extra.
Okay.
That extra. And you know what happens with extra. Yeah. It leaves you.
It leaves.
It'll go somewhere. Yeah. So I tell business owners, let's call that retained, that we're going to retain that for a later date and put it somewhere, mm-hmm. either in a money market account. Something that's going to get you a little bit better interest than a savings account.
Sure.
But have that stay there and you don't touch it unless you absolutely need it.
Mm-hmm. It is so crazy because who's teaching this stuff? You know, when we think about it, when you're sitting down and both of us sit down with businesses like left and right talking about this stuff. And when I sit down, I have to remember I've done this for a long time. But take me, you know, 12, 13 years ago, nobody taught me this information.
Well, in school, grad school.
Right.
Everything they teach is about leverage and
using
OPM.
Using other people's money.
OPM.
There you go. OPM, baby.
And I'm thinking, and I sit and I look, Chris, and I think back to who was teaching me. It was somebody that didn't have money.
Right.
Isn't that weird? I'm listening to advice from somebody that really doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
So you're right. You, Dave, and I, as we teach this stuff, it's countercultural.
Right.
But we get people thinking, then they go, it is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then we point them in the directions and say, hey, you got to start to think a little bit different.
Right.
And you got to start to act a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you put those two together and then you get people on the path and you know what it's like when people get on fire.
Oh, yeah.
They see it and they go.
Oh, like crazy. Now, the funny thing is I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there, again, that have not been taught these lessons that are listening to this right now. And they're going, well, okay, I understand with the debt, but I've got my line of credit. Because they don't see a line of credit as being debt.
Hmm.
They don't see credit cards as being, you know, they don't consider, well, you can't live with it. We'll get to the credit card thing in just a second. Let's just hit the line of credit thing, because that's got to come up with you all the time.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, I get that. I get people tell me, well, I can't grow my business without my line of credit. And then, of course, I stun them. But what do you say to that?
Well, I tell them first and foremost, I go back to my statement. Interest that you pay is a penalty. Mm-hmm. Interest that you earn is a reward. And I ask them, Chris, do you have to pay interest on that line of credit? And they're like, oh, yeah. I go, okay, so that's a penalty.
That's bad.
Or they'll brag, Chris, and they'll say, well, it's only 3%. I say, then it's, you know what I tell them? It's just a little bitty penalty.
It's just a little bitty.
But it's still a penalty. So I say that line of credit, what it's doing is it's giving you a safety net.
Yeah.
And it's your fallback. Now, a lot of business owners, it's also an excuse to do
that's
stupid.
Crazy what you just said right there. And I had not thought about it like that. But it is a safety net. And if you think about that, exactly what you're saying is they feel safe with it.
Yes.
They feel safer with the ability to go further in debt than not to.
Oh,
that's scary.
It is. I had one farmer. He closed out his $225,000 credit line. It took him 2 or 3 years to get to that point, but he closed it out. And he said, Chris, he said, I felt really weird because I'd had that for 10 years. Like it was a family member or a friend. And he started to see it. So I would tell people this, that credit line that the bank is offering you, remember, the bank is looking after the bank.
Yes,
They're not your buddy. They're not your buddy.
What are you talking about?
They are not your buddy.
Oh,
they're looking after them. That's why they have those big mahogany chairs and pillars of granite that we don't get to use. Those. So you get people thinking and they start to look at debt for what it is and then begin to work there. I think a lot of business owners get frustrated because they can't just flip a switch and do it automatically.
Right.
This is a process. What we're teaching in Entree Leadership, it's a process. So take some time, but make a decision to go down that path. Yeah. The debt-free path. And you're going to have some obstacles, but those obstacles are the opportunity for you to strengthen yourself and stay committed to the cause.
Yeah. You didn't get into debt overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight.
Perfect.
The thing that I always tell people when it comes to this thing of debt, especially when it's businesses, because we have a lot more zeros usually when it comes to businesses, is that debt robs you of your options. What you're doing is you're handcuffing yourself. You're not able to make the decisions, make the moves that you want to going forward. With that, people are always saying, well, you have to have a credit card. Now, again, you and I travel more than pretty much anybody I know. And people are, well, you can't travel without a credit card. You have to have a credit card. If you're going to send out a salesperson, he's got to have a credit card. How do people run a business without credit cards?
They start to see, and people are always, they'll argue with me too. There's no way you can't have a credit card. You're hopping around. I'm like, who do I work for? Okay. We do not have credit cards. We have corporate debit cards, and I'll even show it to them. And they go, oh, and I go, listen, there's this mythical process where this debit card is attached to a checking account that has cash in it. And so when you swipe that debit card, it's removing cash from that account. So again, people look at those credit cards like the credit line as a family member or a friend. I've been a member since 89.
Right.
You know, they put that on those little cards to make you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're in a country club.
Yeah.
You're not. You're in the debt club is what I tell people.
Debt club.
So you can do it, but you have to have cash. A salesperson, same way. You know, here, if people don't have a corporate card, they get what? They get cash, petty cash, and you have to come back and do an expense report.
Right.
So again, I snatch away the excuses.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause if you get rid of the excuses, then people have to look at it for what it is. It's old hat. It's old habit and it's costing you money and you're getting penalized using credit cards. Make the adjustment and start to use a debit card and you have to reconcile the account.
Right.
You got to stay on top of it.
Every month. I get the things that I get, is I get people saying, well, and I guess one thing we should explain is our debit cards aren't attached to our main checking account. We actually sweep money because we budget, which is a foreign concept to a lot of people. We plan ahead of time so we know how much money we're going to be spending on debit cards anyways, or we have a really good guess. And so we sweep money into a separate account. That's where our debit cards are attached to. But I get a lot of people with this concept of not using credit cards that are like, well, I've even had one person come up to me and say, Chris, here's what you need to know. I earned $700 from my credit card company last year because I put my business on credit cards. He goes, so I have a hard time giving up that $700. And I looked at him and I said, I think the thing for me is I have seen how many families they have destroyed, how many marriages they've destroyed, You know, how many kids have killed themselves on college campuses because of credit card debt? Literally, that's it. And I looked at him and I said, I'm never going to give that company $700 of mine to grow so that they can destroy more families. So for us here, it's personal. But for that person out there who's sitting there going, $700, it's worth it for me for $700. I'm sure you share the Dun & Bradstreet story as well, or the statistics on that. Are they really getting $700 back?
No. A lot of people, you know, they'll tell me, Chris, the cash back or the points, okay, or the airline miles. And I forget what stat it was, but it said 85% of the people don't even use those miles. Right. 85%. Yeah. It's the idea that you're getting something for nothing, and you're not.
You're tricking the bank.
Or people say, Chris, I pay mine off every month. I say, great job.
Yeah.
I said, however, I've seen hundreds, if not thousands of people that used to do that, and then life happened.
Right.
And they weren't able to. So now what you were always doing is gone because you don't have the capacity, whether lost job, sick family member, or something like that. And so now you're paying interest because it's sitting there rolling over month to month. Mm-hmm. What I want you to do is to remove the possibility that they can ever penalize you
right.
by not having them.
I love it.
But again, Chris, I can't make everyone follow that. Yeah. And so, but what I do is sprinkle the seed to help people see it's not a tool of building wealth.
Sure.
It's not a tool of running your company. It's a tool of debt. Yeah. And we have to see it for what it is.
And the Dun & Bradstreet quote that you spend 12 to 18% more using a credit card than if you budgeted it, used cash to pay for it. Now people look at that and they say, well, I only buy what I need. Actually, no, you don't because you're not feeling the pain.
Yeah.
So talking about that, what do you do? How do you guide a business on their purchases? How do you guide them with their budgeting? And what do they do going forward so they can be smart about this kind of stuff?
The first thing on the purchases, I really try to get business owners to look at, do they need to have this? Mm-hmm. Is it something that they need to buy? Or is it, have they done any research to see what this purchase is going to help them do? And you and I were talking before we got on air about kind of rate of return. Are you going to see anything from this? Because too many times we just do stuff to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to be intentional with this money. Sure. We got to say, okay, you know what? This would be nice to have, but it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. So this is something that maybe we'll begin to save toward, i.e. budgeting. You mentioned the budgeting with business owners, and I'm surprised how many don't have an idea right. of what it is. Or Chris, they say my accountant is handling it.
Yeah, because if we're being honest, entrepreneurs hate accounting.
Absolutely.
And so they don't have a clue.
But you can have an accountant. But what I tell people is you need to have your hand on the pulse. Mm. You need to see it, what's going on. You need to be able to look at that P&L because all it is an autopsy. Okay? If you think about it, it tells you why did this past month happen is what the P&L shows. And so you need to be able to look at that and say, you know what? We really did well in these one or two areas. Why is that? And can we duplicate that in this next month? And so you have to be able to know it. I don't want you to have to turn into an economist,
right.
but you need to know why your business is functioning the way it is. And now you got to look from a budgeting standpoint. What are my expenses and what do I have to keep paying? Tell you this quick story. I had a gentleman that's running a business up north. He was spending about 20 grand a month on advertising. And I asked him, I said, well, why are you doing that? Chris, this was his answer. Because that's what I've always done.
Wow.
And I said, well, what is that making you? He goes, I don't know.
I don't have a clue.
But this is what I've always done. We, long story short, we trimmed that to $5,000 mm-hmm. and were able to track to see that that $5,000 was making him about 15. So he saw it. So that was a big swing in money for him. So he was doing something by having his eye on his expenses. He could figure out what he didn't need to be doing, which was saving him money.
Mm. An extra $15,000 a month. I mean, that's, and the thing is, as we both know, if you're not tracking it, you're not making it.
That's right.
Otherwise you would see it. If you were having great return on this, you would actually see that. I received a tweet from Christopher Parks, and he was asking, should small businesses follow the baby steps just like individuals and families? And then he also asked, and this isn't an obvious answer, but I can see where he's coming from, is debt ever really acceptable in small biz? So, no on the second one, but should small businesses follow the baby steps just like individuals and families?
I think they can follow the principles of the baby steps, but you can't necessarily follow them to the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. And I say it this way, because in your business, having $1,000 emergency fund, is that the end goal? Would that be the first step? No. The first step would be for you to have 1 month of expenses.
Right.
So the principles and theories are there. Mm-hmm. The order in which you do it could vary. Mm-hmm. Meaning you may not get like baby step three. You get 3 to 6 months, right? Well, it may take you a while to get that in your business.
Sure.
But we can still attack some debt. Now, with debt, if you have a SBA loan or you have some large line of credit, then you're going to have to do what? It's good. It may take you a few years to attack that, to be able to knock that out. So I don't want people to think, okay, I've got to go solely in this order. But we do want to make progress with the principles of looking at debt as a penalty, that I do have to have savings, i.e. retained earnings for my business for those slow times. And I want to save up and pay cash for things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can exactly mirror it, but you can take the principles and apply it.
Sure. What I like to tell people is, first, start off by finding out what a living wage is for you, because you've still got to live. You're a business owner. You've still got to, you got to put food on the table. Find out that living wage, and then look at those the debt that you have, and see if you can't do a 3 to 5 year payoff on that debt if possible, and set what that would look like. And that has freed up so many companies. Mm. I mean, it's just blown their minds when I point that out to them. They're like, I never realized I could pay off debt in my business so quickly. And some people are, it's much bigger. And one other thing, I know people get confused on this. When we talk about retained earnings for the case of emergencies, we're talking about the expenses that you need to keep the doors open. Where I was talking with two gals that run a concrete business. And one of the gals was like, that'd be $2 million. I'm like, no, it shouldn't be. I can't imagine you have $2 million worth of expenses. She goes, well, upcoming jobs and all that. So no, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about what it takes to keep the doors open. I find that I get a lot of businesses that are wondering, what do I do with the money once I'm going? If I start on this path, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. Let's say I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Crud, I actually get to the end of the tunnel. Now I've got money and I need something to do with it. I spend so much time trying to show them where they can place that money that I've actually sat down with a ton of businesses. And when I looked over their P&L, at the end of the day, they're not making much money at all. They've got great income. They have lots of expenses and justifiably so, but the business model that they have itself is causing them to have about enough money. They could really go to Home Depot and make more money on a 40-hour week job, not have to deal with all the stress and all that. So what do you guide people in? Should people be looking at the rate of return? Should they be looking at the return on investment? Now that I'm here and I've got some cash, what do I do? Where do I pour it?
Well, I think as you do that, you want, with business owners, I talk a lot about thinking, the strategic versus the tactical. I think once you've gotten to the point where you've attacked debt, now you're starting to think strategic about what does the next 5 years of my business mm-hmm. look like? Do I need to expand in space? Do I need to contract? But to start to think about that and take some time, it's okay for that money to sit in the bank account.
What?
Chris, it can stay there. I promise. It'll be okay.
It'll actually be all right.
Right. But people get panicked. They get panicked. Yeah. And so I tell them, listen, you've worked hard to get here. Mm. Let's make sure that everything you do, let's make a decision that is a 2-year decision ahead. Oh, meaning, okay, I want to do things now that are going to put me in a better position 2 years from now.
I like it. Not thinking about the right now.
Right. And it's okay for it to sit there. And so I get them to start to think, and I tell them this, you got to be in agreement. And I, the people I coach, they have to explain to me, how is it going to help them 2 years from now? And what I'm trying to do is to get them to think a little bit, because I don't want that money to leave and they find themselves right back in that spot. So they have to be careful.
Sure. What are some of the things that you get? What are some of the things that you hear from people? What are some of the things that for the people that are out there listening right now that you want them to know?
Be honest about what it takes for you to live on personally and pay yourself.
Explain what you mean.
Well, I see a lot of business owners and I'll ask them, well, what are you making from the business? And they just look at me like that deer in headlight look. And I'm like, what are you paying yourself? And they're like, well, I may give myself $1,000 a month. I'm thinking, okay, that's not paying yourself at all. And so they've not done it that way because, see, they have this bare bones mentality mm-hmm. that I'm going to do it all for the business. No, you're doing it, the business, to help people. You're serving customers, but you have to get paid.
Right.
So be honest about what it takes for you to make. And then let's set it up and physically, Chris, move the money from the business account into your personal account.
Absolutely.
That's something a lot of business owners are not doing. And stop letting the business expenses bleed over into personal. Let's have a line of demarcation that these are personal, this is business.
Why is that so important?
Well, number one, tax purposes. Mm-hmm. Your accountant will like you a lot better. Okay.
He may continue to work for you.
He may stay. But I mean, whenever you come in with 12 shoeboxes and drop them on your accountant's desk, that's running up an expense for you because that bill is going to be outrageous. Okay, use those for, be separate. Turn those into your accountant monthly to try to keep your bookkeeper and everybody in line. So in December, you don't get this 1,200 hour bill for this person sifting through everything. So it's going to help you stay in better control. So pay yourself and then be honest about what it takes for you to make. And then don't buy things just because your accountant says so.
Oh.
Listen, every year I get a plethora of calls in December. Chris, I've got XYZ money left over and my accountant says I need to go out and buy a new truck or buy a new big piece of equipment. And Chris, you know what I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
They do that in December. And then in January, they're panicked because they don't have the cash.
Right.
So don't let people talk you into doing things. Get some advice for somebody that doesn't have an axe to grind and really wants to help you.
Absolutely. It's just ridiculous. If you need, now one thing we do around here, if you need to purchase something, purchase. If you have extra cash that you don't need in January and you're sitting there thinking, well, what can I do? Well, for us, there are certain things that we have to pay. We're gonna buy it in the next 4 or 5 months anyways, and you can pre-buy ahead of time. But this concept of, hey, go get you a new truck because it's a tax deduction. So you spend so much money on a object that you don't need and at a price that is bigger than tax anyways, just so that you don't send it to the, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I have people, I see them, they're willing to spend $20,000 to avoid paying $3,000 in taxes.
It's just,
you know, but it's out of habit. They
right.
mean well.
Somebody
but I
taught
want them
who
they
didn't
did.
Know.
They didn't know. And so you get bad information that's spread. And you and I know if it happens enough, it's called a myth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, where can people get more information about you? Tell about your blog. Tell about your Twitter, all that fun stuff.
Well, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at ChrisHogan360 on Twitter. You can go to my website. It's ChrisHogan360.com. And then you can go to DaveRamsey.com/ChrisHogan for information about speaking. So
cool.
I appreciate you having me today.
Oh, absolutely. It was great having you in here. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are going, my gosh, I wish I'd have had that before I started the business. So folks, there you have it. Somebody who spends, Chris Hogan right here, who spends all of his time teaching, speaking, and coaching businesses. Well, actually, you're spending most of your time speaking nowadays, but he spent most of his time before coaching businesses on how to run their business debt-free. And there's the proof. People are doing it all over the place. Like I just said, 30% of the people that come to Entree Leadership, the event that I teach, are running a business debt-free. And when I have them raise their hands, it shocks the other 70% of the people in the room because they have not been hanging out with somebody who's been doing it that way. So, things you need to do. Right now, you got to get in on a plan. If you do not have a debt-free business, it's because you don't have a plan to be a debt-free business. You're not doing a budget where you're spending less than you actually make. So you can put money on the debt. Like I said, make sure you take a living wage. Get a living wage first so you can actually put food on your table. Then make sure that you've got some retained earnings for emergencies so you don't need to go to credit cards and get small business loans to take care of those emergencies. Then start working on a plan to pay off your debt in the next 3 to 5 years. That's it. That needs to be your heavy focus. You're going to have to spend some money on marketing. You're going to have to keep spending money on the things that you need. But instead, what you should do is start focusing on getting the debt gone first. Because here's the deal. Like I said, you are robbing yourself of your options when you're in debt. Plain and simple. If you are in debt, you can't do anything but focus on that debt. Once it's gone, you've got that money. You can do whatever you want to. You can continue to market more. You can pour more into your products, whatever it is. So, Mefford, you got anything on that?
I would just add that, you know, one of the examples that sticks out to me is I wanted to buy this big fancy color printer, and it was going to cost, they wanted me to lease it over and over again. They kept saying, here's the lease price. You get all this stuff with it. And I finally asked, well, how much is it? And they said, it's $6,000. And that, at that time, it was a huge deal for me.
$6,000 for the lease or $6,000 for the printer?
$6,000 just to buy it outright. And I said, well, that's a lot of money. But I thought about it, and I had the money. So I bought it. And then I talked to a few other people who had bought a similar printer, and they said, you know, they're really stressed out about it because when it's not like cranking out work, they get really stressed because they have this lease payment.
Because they get the lease payment.
And like, I didn't worry at all.
Do you remember what the lease payment was?
It was like $500-$600 a month.
Well, which would be $6,000 a year.
Yeah, but if you didn't have the cash and you only had one option, you just take the lease.
And the thing is, tell them what you were doing. So, because most people are going $6,000 for a printer.
I was running an advertising and marketing agency.
So you needed that printer.
Yeah.
I absolutely needed that. Because your drawing hand wasn't working fast enough, right? That's it, though. I mean, the crazy thing is you say for one stinking year, can you make it by for 1 year to save up $6,000 to buy that printer so that you don't have to pay $6,000 the next year? Of course you can. If you can make the $500 a month payments, you can put $500 away.
Right, and I think that's the trick, is they convince you that because I had the cash and I bought it, looking back, I didn't really need it as badly as I thought. Yeah. But I wasn't as hurt because I didn't have this 3-year lease that I had signed into, and I wasn't recurring any other additional payments.
Did you sell that printer?
I did.
What did you sell it for?
I sold it on eBay for $4,500 5 years later.
Nice. There you go. That is a great example right there. Fantastic example. All right. So coming up next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Central, we'll be hosting another Entree Leadership Live Chat. You guys have been blowing this up. It's been huge. Our team will be available to answer some of your business questions you've had on your mind. Did we mention that this is completely free? Because it is. You don't have to pay for this. Visit at DaveRamsey.com/. I am finally getting my way out of saying /, which I've always said. Entree Leadership next Tuesday and join in on the discussion. This is me answering your questions. Whatever you got, shoot it to us. We try to stay somewhat themed in this, if at all possible, but come and join in, see what other people are saying, and learn from it. This is another time where we're just giving you information to change your life. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership, at Chris Licurdo. Email us at podcast@entreeleadership.com, and every day, get your daily leadership lessons at chrislicurdo.com. Also, head on over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. It's free. Again, more free information to help you change your life. Folks, this puts another Entree Leadership Podcast into the books. We hope that you are enjoying this as much as we are. Again, I've got to thank some amazing people that make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our producer. Colin Fatke, our audio engineer. Becky Powell, our no-debt queen. That's good. She's just going to hate us. We love Becky. For those of you that keep coming up to us at events going, why are you guys so mean to Becky? We love Becky. She is fantastic. We're just playing. Obviously, Chris Hogan, and as always, Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out there. Change your life, change your leadership, and change your business. And we will talk to you on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.
Join me, John Acuff, on September 21st and 22nd for the Quitter Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, brought to you by Dave Ramsey. Based on my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Quitter, this exciting 2-day event will help you figure out what your dreams and passions really are. Beat the 3 biggest fears that keep you from pursuing your dream. Recognize the 6 signs that it's time for you to jump, and much more. The last Quitter Conference sold out. Don't miss your chance to go to this one. Sign up today and join me and hundreds of other people chasing their dream at QuitterConference.com.
Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times #1 bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.
Running a business is not for wimps. If you lead people on a daily basis, you know how tough it is. You want your team to enjoy coming to work every day with the same level of passion you have. How can you do that? We've got 3 ways. John Acuff, Chris Hogan, and Chris Licurdo. These speakers travel the country inspiring business audiences, both large and small. They're not only endorsed by Dave Ramsey, they're on his team. They live and breathe Entree Leadership. They get it. and they know how to get it across to your people in their own unique styles. They'll share practical, proven, easy-to-understand principles that will impact how your team sees their work, and more importantly, how they see themselves. This is real-life stuff straight from the trenches. Dave's company has won Best Place to Work in Nashville 5 times in a row for a reason. You can win, too, but you have to be intentional about it. Call our speakers group to schedule John Acuff, Chris Hogan, or Chris Locurdo today. Call 888-284-2488. That's 888-284-2488 or online at DaveRamsey.com/speakers.